Yep, us crazy green divas are still here,
reinventing ourselves yet again.
Now we're streaming live on Facebook and YouTube.
You can find our videos and podcasts on all the usual places.
Still sharing low-stress ways
of living a deeper shade of green.
Hey there, welcome to the Green Diva Show. I'm Green Diva Meg.
And I'm Green Diva Lisa.
And we're a couple days late in the studio this week because of...
snow. Blizzard.
What was the name of this one? When did we start naming storms?
What?
I know.
We named this?
Yeah. It had a name.
Holy.
Liv, what was the name of this one? It was like Orlena or something. Because I kept thinking of Orleans. Anyway.
I didn't even know
we
that.
We got a lot of snow. But just in case anybody was concerned, the chickens did all survive.
Not with much labor to keep them alive.
Yes. And our Great Pyrenees puppy loves it.
Yeah, he can
live
out
right
there.
At home.
He looks like the snow.
You know, this year has been a year, this month, right? This whole month has been like, wow, it's been packed with fun.
I guess we all expected things to change when we changed.
Even when we tried not to expect it, it was like, well, come on, give us a break, man.
Well, we were enjoying the peace and quiet on Twitter, that's for sure. I was.
So Liv found a tweet, the four eyes of January, and it was insurrection, impeachment, inauguration, and investment. Because there's just been so much wacky stuff going on. And by the way, Mercury is retrograde.
I know this. I am the poster child.
Yeah, she is. And well, as you can imagine, having a media communications business, that this is always a little bit more fun for us. Anyway.
So we managed to survive that. And here we are in the studio.
Yay!
And this week, we're going to talk about
textile industry and how sustainable or unsustainable it is. And we've done a lot of reporting on clothing, fashion, and textiles over the years, and it's been pretty ugly. But I guess there's some good news. Things have improved a little.
Yeah, and they've improved because consumers are the ones that are making a noise and shopping with their dollars and making companies be more transparent. And
yeah, it's demand, and it's been happening. And I'd like our T-shirts. I was able to buy organic T-shirts. I don't know if you can see them.
Here behind me.
Mm-hmm. Liv will get that shot for us. And if you're on listening on a podcast, you'll just have to go to our website.
Right.
Anyway, we are really excited to welcome on board a new sponsor, Caraloha, which makes luxurious, eco-friendly, bamboo primarily, household textiles.
And he's going to tell us how much better this company is harvesting and producing this bamboo than than what we used to know about it. Because we've kind of avoided bamboo after we did our homework.
Yeah.
And now we're ready to really dive back in.
Yeah, quite a few years ago, it was pretty tough process to get bamboo, you know, from the fibers to get fabric. But boy, is the fabric now, like, it's so luscious.
It's luscious and sustainable. Thank you very much. It can be.
Scott Brady, we're going to talk to from Caraloha, and he's got a lot of information that, like, I didn't know it was actually healthy for us. Right?
I know. That was a new thing that I loved. But he'll tell us all about that later in the segment.
So stay tuned for that. And in the meantime, I want to thank all of our listeners and audience who have watched and listened,
and
shared,
subscribed.
Oh, and while we're saying that, I'm going to do my little subscribe gesture for Liv. So yeah, please find us on all the social media networks as the Green Divas.
Ask your...
yeah, she who shall not be named.
Yeah, we can't. Or the other, you know, several of them.
Yeah, they're...
ask your smart speakers to play the Green Divas, and they will.
I know. It's pretty fun. So thank you for tuning us in, and keep sharing it up with your friends.
Yes, thanks so much. So we are going to talk about...
how sustainable is it or not?
Well, the good news is, according to the Grand View Research Market Analysis Report...
yeah, say that 10 times fast.
Grand View Research is the company, and this is their annual market analysis research. The eco-fabric market size was valued at $40.58 billion in 2019.
Wow. Ecofabric. That is awesome.
And I wonder
exactly what that is. Is that, you know, sustainably grown cotton or bamboo?
It's organic, sustainably grown, regenerated fibers.
So like the RPET or whatever. Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. I'm good with that.
It's all the above that you can imagine. The regenerator one is a new one that I'm interested in. And I think we'll talk about that in depth in another show.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This is more than one show here. Just saying.
It's expected to grow at about 4.6% each year between 2020 and 2027.
Okay.
Of course, when the report came out, we hadn't been in the middle of a global pandemic. So we'll find out what that actually means. But it is obvious that people are really concerned about toxic production of fabrics. And there's a rising concern about the impact of synthetic fabrics that we've talked about before, especially when it comes to microplastics in the oceans and in our waterways.
Well, and on our skin, as it turns out.
And on our skin, as it turns out. You're right about that. Anyway, actually, you know, all of this is driving the casual. All of this, what I mean by that is the pandemic. All of what we're going through right now.
Like, who is at all home wearing formal clothes right now? Come on. It's yoga pants, sweatpants, pajama pants.
T-shirts.
Yeah.
And so that is driving the industry, the fashion industry, into producing more of that. And those are the fibers, those sustainable fibers, are the ones we want to be most comfortable in. So, yay.
Yeah.
Let's keep going in that direction.
I'm good with that. Can we make it fashionable to not wear a bra anymore?
Oh, please.
Seriously?
I wish.
Honest to God.
Uh-huh.
Oh, well. We're working on it. My friend Frank and I decided that we should try to make it fashionable to wear a bib when dining out. If we ever dine out again.
Just make sure it's sustainable fabric.
Yeah. So as it turns out, clothing is the second largest pollution source. Let me say that again. Clothing is the second largest pollution source in the world. That's a lot.
Traditionally has been a nightmare as a product in terms of, and you know where it gets the worst? Well, it's bad all along the line.
Yeah. The supply chain is pretty ugly.
Yeah. But what we don't talk, we talk about growing, we talk about fertilizer and pesticides and stuff, but we forget to talk about the bleaching and the dyeing of the fabrics as well.
There's a huge addiction to polyesters for various reasons. They stretch, you know, they're comfortable in some ways.
Uh-huh.
But polyester is generally made from petroleum products, just so you know.
But there's some really good, technology now with these regenerated fibers because of the reasons why we like polyester so much is driving the industry to use these regenerative fibers.
We're creative innovators here. We still are. So I'm glad. And it's exciting to see what people are figuring out. So I was thinking about, like, just think about the T-shirt you're wearing right now. Most of us have some kind of cotton. Mine is a turtleneck, but
I'm cotton.
T-shirt, right? What is its life cycle?
Mm-hmm.
Right? You got to ask yourself, what is it made of? What are the fibers? Is it polyester? Is it partial polyester? Is it grown? Or is it plant, animal, or crude oil?
Mm-hmm.
And how is it manufactured? It's like you just start to think about this stuff. You're like, ooh, yeah, what does
it take? It's like, and I'm delighted to say that I'm hearing people talk about the fabrics and the things that they wear and use the way they think about food. You know?
Right, right.
Where does it come from? And
it's taken a little while to get here, but it took a while for people to understand that about food too. So
we have a ways to go, folks.
We're early adopters. What so you ask yourself, where was it? How was it manufactured? What is its durability? Like, did you buy a $5 T-shirt at Walmart? Yeah, one of those places. Whatever. Like, okay, cool. It's cute. And like, I had this cute T-shirt. I think I bought, I want to say Walmart or something, you know, years ago. It lasted literally 1 year. And I'm like, what happened to the T-shirts that I had for so long? The show T-shirts, like from the Grateful Dead concerts and right in the parking lot, right?
Uh-huh.
They last forever. I still have a few of those. I refuse to give them
up. They're a bit of a blend if they're cotton at all, right?
So how long will it last? And where does it go when it's done? Mm-hmm. Right? Like, is it something that can be used? Maybe a t-shirt, obviously.
Can you say
can
Pinterest?
Right? Now, how can we upcycle this? Is it upcycled, recycled, or does it go into a landfill? Right. And if it's polyester, hello, it's plastic.
It's going to live there for many hundreds of years.
So according to the EPA, 83% of used textiles, speaking of landfills, are tossed in the garbage, even though the majority of those items can be donated to for reuse and recycled. Even items worn and torn can be reused as rags, anything. I mean,
and insulation. They're using it for insulation as well.
Yeah, yeah. I'm using it. I bought a dog bed. It's like a dog bed duvet cover, and you just stuff it with whatever
textiles you're
like
not
we
using
have,
anymore.
We have some old bedding bits that are, you know, nice and fluffy. And
you know, it's another thing that I thought about with old bedding that I've used for years. I actually have something different on there now, but in the winter, I would take an old bedspread or double up an old sheet and put it over the windshield of my car and tuck it in the doors. And that way, after it snowed, or if it were just ice, I get up in the morning, beep, whip that thing off, throw it in the trunk, and off I go.
She's so clever. You have all the ideas.
I have my moments.
So the apparel and footwear industries currently account for 8% of global greenhouse gases. That's a high percentage for sneakers and t-shirts.
It's nearly as much as that of the whole European Union.
Right.
Now, was that before or after
Brexit?
Either way, that's a lot of output.
It really is.
Green gas emission. Oh, yikes.
So, we were preparing for this, and I remembered, oh my gosh, I did that whole, I taught a class at Fashion Institute in New York.
I went to watch her teach. She was brilliant.
I don't know about that, but I was able to sort of put all of this stuff into a PowerPoint. You know, I had to think about it and like, oh my God, I got to
so
focus.
So proud of my little sister. I didn't know anything about PowerPointing then. I had people for that back then.
I was scared to death. It was so nerve wracking. There was like, what, 8 people, 10 people in the room, and they're like, all right, whatever. I plucked some things out of there that are still really relevant. And one of them was the idea of like cradle to cradle. What is responsible textile manufacturing? What does that mean? The life cycle. And so I had this list of ethical sourcing. So whether, you know, wherever you're getting your material from, it's ethically sourced. Mm-hmm. Use renewable energy when you are manufacturing or preparing it, right?
Right.
Minimal use of toxic chemicals, please. Responsible water use and clean water output.
That's a big part of it.
It is a big part of it. Social responsibility for workers and community and fair trade as well. Impact of materials on humans, animals, and environment. Mm-hmm. And that, of course, beyond the plastic stuff that may come off of there, but the dyes and the bleaches you mentioned are a big deal.
Right.
Reusability, recyclability, and compostable. I remember I had a shirt that was compostable. I was like, how long is this going to last? How many washings when it says compostable? Someone still needs to answer that for me.
Do you still have that shirt?
You know, I think I do. Oh, I do. In fact, we got them for the Relevant Times magazine.
Oh, my gosh.
And the what it said on the shirt was compost this shirt.
Oh, funny.
And as a matter of fact, I still have some of them.
Right?
Yeah.
Are they V-necks?
You know, there might be V-neck for you there.
I'm in.
All natural dyes, organic.
I would love to promote that.
Gosh, that was like 15 years ago or something. Oh, my God.
Oh, so okay. There you go.
So you did some nice homework here on the United Nations Environmental
Program. Well, yes, there's a group called the United Nations Environmental Programs, the UNEP, and they did some research and talked about the textile industry's impact on climate. It accounts for approximately 3.3 billion
with the B
metric tons emitted greenhouse gases per year while consuming more than 53 trillion gallons of water.
You got to believe, like, maybe we don't need closets full of, you know, clothes that we don't wear.
Yep.
Just saying.
Producing just over 2 pounds of a textile requires 1.38 pounds of chemicals.
Ooh. I know that's really true with cotton, and we're going to talk about that in a minute, but ooh.
Right. The global textile industry has severe impacts on the ecosystem, with global cotton cultivation requiring an estimated 200,000 tons of pesticides and 8 million tons of fertilizer per year. That makes making up 16% and 4% of the total global use of pesticides and fertilizers, respectively.
Now, so here's a good spot to put this. We had talked about this. We did a fun little promo video. Remember that?
Oh, right.
Let's put that little, I don't know if the stats are exactly the same because it's a couple years old, but we were cute. Let's watch it.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Green Diva Meg. You know, I was just telling Green Diva Lisa the other day about organic cotton underwear. So tell us, why should we care about organic cotton undies? For starters, cotton covers 2.5% of the world's cultivated land, but uses up to 25% of the world's insecticides, more than any other single major crop. You've probably asked yourself a million times, why should we care? And then wondered, what the heck can we do about it anyway?
Okay, that was 10 years ago.
Luckily, we still look the same.
Whatever.
Maybe. Maybe not.
Okay. Anyway, at the global level, the use phase also accounts for the highest impact on freshwater use. Though looking at it from the water scarcity footprint perspective shows the highest footprint for raw material production, mostly cotton cultivation.
Yeah. See, it's the cotton thing.
36% of the global apparel's climate impact originates from the bleaching, dyeing, as I said, and finishing phase during the textile production, closely followed by the use phase, accounting for 24%.
Wow.
And then the global textile industry's impact on water resources, water scarcity footprint, in other words, has its highest share in China, and then India, and then the U.S.
Well, it kind of makes sense, sadly.
I know. So, well, much room for improvement.
And then there's good news you have here.
The good news is this is
thank
what
God
we
can, there is some.
Thank God there is some is right. This is what we can expect from the organic fibers industry. They are grown in controlled settings without using herbicides, chemicals, and pesticides.
Well, that's a huge help.
And growing conditions for the product are extensively monitored and audited by certified agencies across the world. Organic cotton is the most commonly used ecofiber across various end-use industries owing to superior characteristics.
Superior.
So it's important that we grow and manipulate and distribute cotton in a good, sustainable,
well, I mean, there were reports
way.
When we had started to report about this, I was stunned to find out that the suicide rate of cotton farmers,
I forgot about
of
that.
Non-organic cotton farmers in India was ridiculous. They were getting so sick, their children were sick. It was kind of stunning, and I had no idea. So I do assume that that is getting better because they have really started to do more and more organic. But we had done this fun segment about why wear organic cotton undies. And it kind of unraveled into all this stuff. But one of the things we found out, and we tied into a Greenpeace campaign a few years back, was that we are actually starting to have physical effects of petroleum-based clothing like polyester on our bodies. It can be endocrine disruptive, which is not good for our hormone systems, especially if you're young. A study by Greenpeace that randomly tested clothing from over 20 brands, including Adidas, American Apparel, Burberry, Disney, Gap, whatever. I don't even know how many of these exist anymore. Nike, Puma. They found hazardous chemicals in the finished product. So I don't even think it was the petroleum-based plastic necessarily, but the pesticides also from cotton being grown non-organically. So this stuff that it disrupts hormones, messes with endocrine function, attacks the immune system, and can be carcinogenic. So like, this is a lot. So what are you sleeping on? What are you wearing on your body? So that's why underwear, well, it's pretty intimate and it's close to your body.
All right.
So I'm hoping that we can share this video with you. It was one of their campaign videos that we had used and shared. We actually used to partner with Greenpeace and we did a whole series with them. So if we're allowed to watch it, you're going to see it now. And if we're not allowed to watch it, then...
Well, then I'll talk about some good news.
I'll put the link in the post, by the way.
There is good news. The technology advances I talked about earlier with these brands that we care about so much that are easy for sports and all that stuff. All that technology is being worked on with the Ecofiber technologies. And they are also offering
antimicrobial,
hyperallergenic, insulated, UV resistant, highly breathable.
It's like high-tech stuff.
It's very high-tech stuff, but there's a demand for sustainability from the way it's made to the people who make it to us who wear it or have it touch our world.
So this is where Caraloha comes in, and we're really excited to talk to them. Mm-hmm. And we're reinvigorating our segment, GD's at Home.
Yep.
And we're going to talk to Scott Brady, who is their VP of Marketing Communications. And he's going to talk to us about why bamboo is so cool. Right. So, hey, Scott, it's good to see you and finally meet you.
Well. Same. Thanks for having me.
It's a little bit of a delay, so I apologize if we step in each other a little bit here. We're getting used to it. So in the past, and, you know, quite a few years ago when we started to report on textiles, bamboo kind of got a bad rap. You know, at first everybody's all excited. Oh, my God, it's so sustainable. But the processing was a little rough a few years back. So what I was so excited about when I looked at your website was how much it has evolved and how much Caraloha, let me say that correctly, is doing to update that process so it's even more sustainable, environmental friendly.
Can you walk us through that process?
Yes, a lot has changed, and you're right, a lot has evolved over the years, and we're excited about it because you're right, that's our goal, is trying to be as sustainable as possible or as carbon neutral as possible. And for us, that starts by the materials that we're using. Right out of the gate, we're using a material that has a greener footprint than a lot of other materials out there. And how we manufacture that differs from what it was years ago and what it's evolved to at this point. And so one of the key things that we do on our end is we use advanced closed loop process that ideally, what it does is it's a minimal impact process, and that involves both water reclamation as well as recycling any of the chemicals that are used. But again, these chemicals aren't just any chemicals. These are GOTS approved chemicals, and 99% of them get recycled over and over again, as well as the water. So the reclamation as well as the chemical usage. And so that's made a big difference, that advanced closed loop process, both being good for the environment and a more economical way to go as well. It's interesting how when you start doing things the right way, if you really work at it, you start seeing that things are beneficial not only for your bottom line, but also for the people out all around us who are using the product.
So where is the bamboo grown?
For us, our bamboo is grown in our Caraloha farm, which is in the Sichuan province in China. It's our own farm out there, and it's dedicated. So it's a crop that we're managing and it grown on our farm, and it's used, it's controlled. So it's not infringing upon other bamboo forests and fields that are obviously for other purposes, but this is a controlled cropped farm in the Sichuan province in China.
Did you get to go visit there?
I haven't, but many people have. And so they have these kind of fun pictures of walking through the farm with our partners out there. One day, I hope. My kids are studying Chinese right now in school. So I'm like, wouldn't that be fun to go out with them, but maybe help with the language barrier a bit. But
so let's talk about sustainability in textiles and why bamboo is one of the top ones and how it compares to some of the other common textiles used for household linens and things.
Yeah, for us, bamboo is, well, it's remarkable. I never grow tired of talking about it because of all the amazing things that it does. And we kind of break it down to it being soft, cool, clean, and green. But focusing on the green aspect of it specifically, and the sustainability of it. One thing that that's amazing about bamboo, and you guys are familiar with this, I'm sure, but it renews itself naturally. And that's what's exciting about it. When you cut it down, it grows right back, and at a remarkable speed as well. It's part of the grass family, and so you don't need to reseed it. Unlike a lot of other materials out there, you have to reseed that and replant. And in doing so, it requires a lot of different chemicals to make that work effectively. But bamboo, you cut it down and it grows right back. So, and it grows organically as well. It doesn't use any pesticides or herbicides or chemicals to grow. It's rain fed, sunshine and good soil, and it grows really well. And the amazing thing is it also helps our atmosphere. It cleans our atmosphere. It emits more oxygen than an equivalent stand of trees, which is quite amazing, and consumes more carbon dioxide than an equivalent stand of trees.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's excellent.
It has that, Mother Nature baked that into it, and that's just how it grows, which is really nice.
Oh, I'm so glad you guys have figured out how to do it more sustainably, even.
Yeah, it's making a difference.
The product is so much more sustainable because of the process and the manufacturing. But can you talk about how it does compare to maybe wool or cotton or some of the other products that people might choose?
Yeah, and right now with a lot of those other materials out there, I would say we've evolved as a textile industry quite a bit over the last 5 to 10 years. And some of those materials are doing a good job. Most people I see these days are trying to use organic cottons, and they're adhering to a lot of different standards that I think are definitely a step in the right direction. Wool and a lot of the wools you see these days from different companies, they're managing that, the not only the production of the wool and the manufacturing of the wool, but then also wherever their flocks are. You see it a lot of companies like Icebreaker is one that I'm familiar with.
I love Icebreaker.
They do a lot of good things with their wool. They're very transparent. And that
the barcode.
Yeah, the barcode. You can get your own barcode. And so you can track that wool all the way to the source. And that's a good thing. That's what we're trying to do with bamboo. We're trying to be as transparent as we can. We're striving to be better all the time from start to finish. We're trying to show that process and what happens throughout the entire life cycle of the bamboo product. And I think a lot of businesses are doing that. Organic cottons are good. The wool that's being used is good. And people are trying to make a difference, trying to do the right thing, which I love to see.
Can you talk about the finishing process, the dyeing and all that stuff?
Yeah, the dyeing process. I'm glad you asked that, because one of the things we're looking at right now is, especially on our bedding, is that when you talk about the sustainable manufacturing side of dyeing, and then you go all the way from the transportation, the production of the cut and sewing of the fabrics, and then everything is dyed these days. It's all dyed, and hardly anything that comes out the way it was originally. Even white is technically an unnatural color. It doesn't come out white. So most things get dyed. But what we're trying to do and what we're developing right now is more plant-based dyes. Seems to be one, it's definitely more sustainable and environmentally friendly, but there's a great feel to that plant-based dye as well. And so we're exploring that. And that's something that a lot of our dyes right now they're not 100% plant-based. Again, we're just exploring that, trying to make it better, make it more sustainable.
So if you had one thing you wanted our audience to know about making sustainable linens and Karaloha, what would it be?
I would want people to know that you have a choice, and bamboo is a wonderful alternative to linens these days, for all the reasons that I've mentioned. And on our end, it feels so good. It's so comfortable. It's kind of has a buttery softness to it. So there's that. But one, you're helping yourself and the environment. You're making a difference in your purchase with that bamboo alternative source for fabrics and for linens. That's what I want people to know. And the way we say it is it's a comfy way to save the world. It helps benefit the world.
I love that.
And that's what we love. So a comfy way to save the world through Care Aloha Bamboo.
I want you to talk about one more thing before you go. And that is the qualities of this bamboo fabric that I didn't realize about, the antimicrobial and all of those qualities.
That for me personally, it's my favorite, the favorite quality or property of bamboo, those fabrics, is because a lot of people can feel a little bit skeptical about certain things or different benefits that marketers or businesses will claim. And so when you actually put it to the test and you see, is it really clean? Does it really, you know, repel odors, allergens, and bacteria? And you see that it does. And it's like, wow, that is a big benefit. I really enjoy that I can leave my towels on the rack and for a couple of days and I come back, there's not that mildewy smell. And I'm asking my wife, is this really happening? Is this really not smelling? And of course, you should eventually wash your towels and your shirts and clothing and socks. But bamboo has that inherent property that repels the bacteria and the odors and the allergens. Great for sensitive skin. And then, of course, it's just cleaner. It's just cleaner all around, better for your skin, softer on your skin, and then, of course, softer on the environment.
So I'm looking forward to getting some of ours because I know you guys are going to send us some things and I'm really excited. And we're going to be looking forward to having you guys sponsor this GD's at Home segment.
Thank you so much.
Thanks so much, Scott. It's great to meet you and talk to you.
Megan Lee, lovely to be with you. Thank you.
Keep up the good work. So what can we do about all this? Going back to all the things we talked about that were hazardous and the statistics that are terrifying. So I just, you know, was thinking through, buy less, right? It's all about quality, not quantity at this point.
Really, I just want to take a second because I myself, you know, I have a limited income and sometimes I go to these companies that have really wonderful stuff and the price is a little bit high. And I really do have to back myself up because it's so easy to go to Walmart and buy that $5 t-shirt. But think about the whole thing. And then imagine owning that t-shirt for many years, which is pretty much what I do. My friend came over and she talked about how much clothes I have. And it's because I don't throw stuff away.
Right.
I have them forever. So,
or you could be like me and just vary in size enough that you need to have a closet full of different sizes. It's like shopping at different times. But so buy used, buy smarter. Cheap isn't always better. As you were saying, longevity is an issue. Swap and share.
Yay.
Clothing swaps are kind of fun.
I have lots of friends that do it. I have a group of friends in Austin that did it and a group of friends in Maine that did it. Yeah.
Can it be recycled or upcycled? What is it made of? Who made this and were they safe in the process? Is it fairly traded? Get educated. There are organizations that have created standards for organic, sustainable, and fair trade. They created these standards, and I'm going to put some on the screen now. Liv will.
Thank you,
Liv. For clothes and also for other items. If not, you can go to, if you're listening, you can go to the website and see all of these and check them out. But they offer, you know, their seals of approval and the standards and the companies that are using and practicing all these things.
They're trying to be more transparent. So look for those companies that are really being transparent.
So I hope you've enjoyed this show and gotten some really only scratched the surface. Go to thegreendivas.com. You can see a lot more information with links to more details than what we've told you. And I think it's all about education and becoming more mindful and really asking yourself, do I need that? Do I want that? Is this really all the questions that we talked about?
Have that conversation with your kids, with your loved ones, with your friends. Because it's all about changing our consumer habits.
And thanks, Scott, for being with us. Check it out.
We'll see you next week.
Bye.
So, what'd you think?
Let us know.
And in the meantime, follow our YouTube channel. Follow the Green Divas on Instagram, Facebook, all the usual social media hangouts. And now you can ask your smart speaker to play the Green Divas podcast.
And I have a favor. Please share this with your friends. Thanks in advance.